Welcome to Highly Sensitive, Happily Married, the podcast that teaches you to not only have an easier marriage as a sensitive woman, but to have one that feels more amazing by the day, where you'll hear relatable stories, love advice that works, and coaching on how to have a marriage where feeling upset and disconnected is a thing of the past, and where instead a sense of loving connection and even fun and lightness is the norm. I'm Hannah Brooks, highly sensitive person, love expert, and marriage coach, and I'm so happy to be on this journey with you. Hello there, friends, and welcome to episode 3, an episode that I think is going to be like music to your ears. But first, I want to start off with a little thought experiment. I want you to think about what you want more of from your partner. What seems like it's missing, what you'd love to see more of from your partner or your husband in your marriage. I'm just giving you a minute to think. So if you are like so many other women, what you probably want more of is more care from him. Maybe you want him to be more attentive to you, maybe more understanding of what's going on for you, perhaps more supportive, right? Maybe you want him to have more of an ability to really hear what you're saying, really listen to you, really see you, really adore who you are, really respect you deeply. Right? Maybe you'd like him to have more awareness of what makes you feel good and what makes you feel bad. I hear that a lot. Maybe you just love more compassion, right? More empathy. Maybe you want him to be more tender with you or more responsive to your words and things you say, gestures, actions, right? Maybe you want him to be more in touch with himself and his feelings. I hear that all the time. Like you want him to be able to connect deeper or be deeper with you, right? Go deeper in conversation, right? I bet you'd like at least one of those things, more of one of those things, if not all of those things from your partner. So this might feel really surprising to hear, but all of those things I just described, that is what sensitivity actually is in a nutshell. All of those things that I just listed are what sensitive actually means. You can go look up sensitive in a dictionary if you want. It means responsive and compassionate and caring, conscientious, and able to connect, able to be aware and deeply attuned with, right? So sensitivity is actually what most of us want more of in our relationships. Sensitivity is often what's missing from a loving relationship. Yeah? Sensitivity is actually what we need more of in our relationships, in our world. And I know that you can just look outside at the world right now and know that for sure, right? There's a lack of sensitivity. And what I want you to know, I want you to take in deeply from this episode is that you were built to embody sensitivity. You were born with a huge dose of this beautiful thing called sensitivity. So you naturally, effortlessly bring that wherever you go. When, and this is key, when you aren't at the effect of those more challenging aspects we talked about last time, right? When you've learned how to honor and work with your sensitivity, then you effortlessly bring this beautiful sensitivity to your relationships, to the world. So I want to get into this one thing, though, more deeply, which is that when we don't understand our sensitivity trait well enough, we tend to not value ourselves. We tend to not see what's good about ourselves, right? We don't believe we're so great. We don't believe we have so much to offer, right? When we don't understand our trait. I know this is very common. And so for me, this was very true. When I look back at my life, all of my romantic relationships suffered because I didn't value my sensitivity. I didn't value myself. And so much of that, like the things I judged about myself were due to my sensitivity. And I didn't understand, right? And I see this all the time with my clients, right? Like when I look back at my life or when I listen to my clients talking, what I understand is that there's this underlying sense of like something's wrong with me. And this is probably the third episode that I've brought this up in. And that's because it's just like so common. So this sense of like something's wrong with me is an issue, right? And I want to share like what this was like for me. I remember when I was like 13, probably my first like really hard experience with this, an experience that really stuck with me and it was like a traumatic experience, like an emotionally traumatic experience, I would say. It really left an imprint on me. So I had this big crush on this like gorgeous young sophomore when I was a freshman. And I remember going to a room, like a big common area where he was, I kind of like went with a friend, and I remember my friend and he struck up this conversation and I just sat there like totally mute. Right. I was a quiet person and I was even more quiet when I was around people I didn't really know, or of course someone I was enamored with. And, you know, they had a conversation maybe like 5-10 minutes and I just, you know, sat there smiling and like nodding my head and kind of following along. And he turned to me all of a sudden. And he said, "What are you, a sheep?" And I remember just like how like this sinking feeling in my gut, and I probably turned bright red. And you know, I think the reason that that hurt so much was because I already judged myself for being too quiet, like too shy, not interesting enough in group settings, right? Like I already thought something was wrong with me, and this confirmed it, right? Yeah, I'm still getting over that one. You know, and for much of my life, I also thought I was like too easily hurt, right? Too easily overwhelmed and stressed. I was too slow to speak up when I should, right? Like again, in groups, I like clammed up a lot. I would never raise my hand in class when I knew the answer. And, you know, I judged myself for this, and I judged myself for being irritable when I didn't get enough rest, when my other friends would be fine, right? I was also like really easily bored with surface conversation, and I really craved deep connection, one-on-one connection, intimacy, you know, emotional intimacy. But, you know, in relationships, sometimes I thought, well, maybe that's not so realistic. Maybe that's silly, right? Maybe I'm weird, right, for that. So, you know, in short, I kind of felt like a silly little girl with not much to offer others, not much to offer intimate partners. I mean, not totally. There's a part of me that knew that I had good things to offer, but not, I didn't know it on a deep, deep level, right? I didn't see the beauty of my trait. I didn't even know I was a highly sensitive person or what that was, right? But I didn't value the things that I bring, like my gentleness, like the deep attunement and awareness of others, like all the compassion, the deep care, my ability to actually connect really deeply and go deeply with other people, right? I didn't see those things so clearly, so I couldn't feel that great about myself. So again, I find this so common with us highly sensitive people. Not valuing ourselves is so common. And it's not a surprise because our culture doesn't yet fully recognize and celebrate sensitive people for our strengths, right? It actually, like I've said before, it actually does the opposite, right? It kind of implies that there's something wrong with us, right? So how would we know how to value ourselves if the world around us doesn't do that, right? So it's no fault of yours if it doesn't just come automatically, right? It makes sense that you would feel like something's a little wrong with you if you do. But this is the thing. The heart of most relationship problems for everyone, highly sensitive people and non-highly sensitive people. By the way, I don't know if I've said this. I will be calling highly sensitive people sometimes HSPs, highly sensitive people. That's the term we use. So if I say HSP, that's what it means. But the sort of the heart of relationship issues for all humans lies in not valuing our own selves deeply enough on some level, all right? To have thriving relationships, we need to deeply accept and value ourselves. You all have heard this, right? We need to love ourselves first. We need to love ourselves to have great love in our life. And I'll talk all sorts of more about this over the coming weeks and months. But just know that it is true, right? And so this is something you can learn to do. I should just put that out there. Absolutely. Didn't come naturally, maybe, but you can totally learn to do it. I feel so good about myself now. And my partnership, my marriage reflects that. It reflects that health, right? My little silly girl, she still comes out and she's here with me now, and I love her now. I'm not critical of her. And I also know that I'm a powerful woman with so much to offer the world. And what enabled me to feel so sure of myself as a wonderful person and to feel good about myself as a wife and to have this, joy-filled, like fun, deep, loving, connected marriage with my husband? Well, there were many things, but one of the hugest keys was learning to understand, appreciate, and love my sensitivity. We highly sensitive people truly are amazing. We do make the best partners when we take our well-being seriously, right? When we rid ourselves of our insecurity or thinking something's wrong with us, when we feel deep down good about ourselves, all right? And that starts with understanding the great parts of sensitivity, the gifts it brings, how it's an asset when it comes to relationships. I know it might not feel that way for you right now. I know we talked last time about how it brings challenges, right? But it is an asset when it comes to love. And you will naturally start being able to feel so good about yourself, start to value yourself more when you see all the amazing ways that you are actually cut out for the most amazing marriage, the most amazing relationship with your partner. So that's what I want to share with you right now. I want to share 10 of the ways that you can make an amazing partner when you are emotionally centered, okay, and you know how to work with and honor your trait, all right? So, number one, we highly sensitive people are naturally conscientious and compassionate and caring, right? You know this about yourself. So, you're probably great at being supportive or loving when your partner needs it. Or like when you feel good, that's probably easy for you to be supportive and loving, right? Or if you're having trouble in your marriage right now and you don't remember being great, think of yourself in the beginning, like in the early days, right? You know that you are someone who wants the best for your partner. Your partner can feel this and appreciate this. Like when that's coming through you, it's obvious and that feels great to the person you're with. We tend to be very aware, so this is number two, of our partner's feelings. Like, right, I talked about that last time. Like we can feel almost like we're like subtly attuned to what they're experiencing, right? We talked about the mirror neurons last time. If you didn't hear that episode, totally go back and listen. It's in some ways, it almost feels like we can read our partner's minds, right? Like before they can. And it's really, we're just picking up on these very subtle things that our highly sensitive systems easily pick up, right? We pick up on their subtle cues, and that actually can help them feel really understood and cared for, right? Especially when you have good skills in place, like good relationship skills in place. This ability can actually help de-escalate conflicts really quickly, right? And it can help and will help your relationship, therefore, feel peaceful and connected. Okay. So number three, we oftentimes can see the best in others, right? Even like these subtle subtle goodnesses, these subtle great things about others that other people might miss, might kind of gloss over. Like, so you likely can see these great things in the people around you, in your partner, and you probably believe in that part of them really strongly. This might be one of the reasons highly sensitive people end up with people who aren't so great for them sometimes. Like, I know there's this big correlation between highly sensitive people ending up in relationships with narcissists. It probably in part has to do with this like ability to see that person's goodness even when they have all this challenging stuff going on. All right. Most of the time, this is actually a beautiful thing, right? Because when you can see this goodness in other people, you can actually help them see it too. And like, it can draw out those parts of them. And it can also, for them, it can feel like, again, like they're so appreciated, right? They will feel so loved when you see all that goodness in them. And that's a strength that we sensitives do have. So number four, we sensitive beings tend to be really loyal. Unless someone's like deeply hurt us, like then we can have some closing people out of our lives kind of thing going on. But we do have this tendency to be very loyal, right? Like I am like deeply loyal to some of my oldest friends, just love and adore them, right? We're also, so this is all kind of connected. We're also very good at listening, right? Again, I want you to keep in mind, this is when we're centered emotionally well, right? We're not upset, right? We're not so great at listening when we're upset, right? We can kind of throw a lot of things out the window when we're really upset. But all of these strengths come so naturally when we're in a good place, right? Inside ourselves emotionally. So we're loyal, we're great at listening, we're very creative, and we tend to be dynamic. So in other words, we're kind of complex. We've got a lot of interesting, cool things going on for us. And this can make us fascinating and safe people to spend our life with, for others to spend their life with, I should say. All right, we've got this depth, we've got this creativity, and we've got this love. So that's kind of like, that's actually like a bunch of different ones I just kind of threw into that, into number four. But we can be really fascinating and at the same time like feel like such a safe loving partner to be with. All right, number five, love this one so much. We tend to experience love and joy intensely, as well as other positive emotions, right? So we can experience like negative emotions strongly, but the flip side, the beautiful side of that is that we actually experience the like super wonderful end of the emotional spectrum really strongly too, right? And that like, that just spills out, right? We share that with our partner. You know, that's contagious. I should say it like that. Like that joy, that love, that just, it's like another person can like catch that, like we catch the flu. All right. So it's such a beautiful thing to bring to a relationship. Number six, we tend to be very loving, calming, and grounding presences. Again, this is when we're emotionally centered, but we can be so calming, feel so safe to be around, can just feel like a, you know, I just said we can be contagious, like our emotional states are contagious to a degree with other people. That's just a human thing. And so when we are that like calm, grounded presence, we emanate that to our partner, right? And it has them also feeling calm and grounded and really just nourished. Number seven, we highly sensitive people tend to thrive on meaning and beauty in all forms, right? And that can enrich our partner's life too. Like I have this tendency to be like, oh my gosh, look at that beautiful sunset, right? And my husband will be like obliviously like, you know, I don't know, just not even noticing this gorgeous sunset right next to me, or a tiny little beautiful flower if we're going for a walk, right? And so I'll point that out, and that gives him the gift of like, right? The moment of like that beauty, right? Or, so we'll bring out these things for them. They might miss it otherwise. And I want to point this back to like, we also, I think this connects back to one of the other ones I was saying, is we'll notice other people's gifts and beauty, right? And our partner may have missed that in themselves, their own goodness, their own beauty. And we point that out. We bring that out. We show them their own inner beauty. I love that about us. Number eight, we tend to have a knack for seeing sort of the big picture, like the large perspective, or all sides of the coin, right? So different perspectives. This can really offer us the strength and perseverance to work through through things that are hard, right? Challenges that come up in relationship, because we can kind of see things from different angles, and that actually will allow us to move through them more gracefully. Yeah. Such a strength. It's one of the things that I work on a lot with my clients, is being able to do that even more. All right, number nine. Along that, in that same vein, is that we have the tendency to reflect deeply and work things out inside of ourselves at length. Okay, so this can lead to really great self-awareness, like a deep understanding of ourself, and like, which will allow us, like I talked about this last time, understanding is what allows us to grow, right? Which is key to thriving in your marriage, right? So, that ability to self-reflect is so wonderful. And it will allow you to grow more and more as you learn how to be honest and open, not just with yourself, right? Self-reflective, but as you reflect more and more openly with your partner, right? And number 10, I think this is very related, is we have this tendency to like to process what's going on in our relationship. Can you relate? We love to get to the heart of the matter with our partners. And we have this tendency to do well at that. Like, we're cut out for doing that well because we are deeply insightful naturally, right? We thrive on depth and complexity. So what this does for a relationship is it helps both partners better understand themselves, right? And the relationship. Yeah. And it means that like there'll be an ease there with being dedicated and working on creating that meaningful connection in your relationship, which will make it more likely to have an amazingly rich, deep, intimate marriage. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that ability, that love of processing, and that deep insight and that thriving on depth and complexity, that's lovely. And it brings so much good stuff to your marriage. So that's just a taste of how amazing you are. I could go on and on, but I'd probably have to speak for hours if I went on. So we're going to stop with 10. But for right now, what I want you to do is just pause for a moment and just take in how amazing you are, like how much you do bring to the world, how many gifts you bring. Like, literally take a deep breath and let yourself fill with a sense of pride. And let this awareness begin to wash away those old pains of not feeling quite good enough, of feeling like something's wrong with you. There's so much right with you. Really take that in. And if that's feeling good for you, I invite you to pause this podcast right now and sit with that for a couple more minutes and imagine you could just like drink that in, like it was seeping into your cells, letting yourself really feel that. It is just so essential to believe in ourselves, right? Valuing ourselves, feeling good about who we are, actually allows us to look at and accept the less ideal parts of our trait, right? Like I talked about last time, all those parts I talked about last time in the last episode. It allows us to address those more challenging aspects and work with them wisely, all right? And this ability to do that work is what will actually bring these gifts all these strengths that I just listed out more and more and more, right? It allows these whole slew of strengths to really work their magic in your marriage and in your other relationships. So just by being you, by seeing and loving your strengths, by being sensitive with your own self, which we're going to get into more next week, and growing more and more into your strengths of your sensitivity, right, into those strengths, just by all of that, you bring these gifts, these sensitive gifts, to a world that needs so much more of it, right? The world needs this sensitivity that you have. So when you're feeling good, you already bring these gifts naturally, right? You already convey or express sensitivity. Isn't that cool? Like just walking around, because communication is like 90% nonverbal or something. I don't know if that's the actual fact anymore, but it's something like it's a huge percentage of our communication is nonverbal. So just by being you, you communicate sensitivity as you go about your relationship, like interact with your partner, right? Or go about your day with your coworkers or whatever, right? Sensitivity does get communicated to you, especially through you, I should say, especially when you're feeling good, okay? That's when it most comes out, when you're feeling centered. So one of the ways that we bring more sensitivity to our marriage and the world is through communication, right? And that, like I said, it can be nonverbal, just being you, just going about moving your body the way you do, smiling the way you do, whatever it is. And it can be verbal, okay? So if you want a practical way to begin inviting more sensitivity, if you want, you know, a practical way to communicate more sensitively in your marriage, like right away, like with actual words, I invite you to grab the 7 most powerful phrases to deepen connection in your marriage. It's a little PDF that I've put together. That's just what it sounds like. And I will put the actual link for that in the show notes. So you can go in there and just click that link and go grab it. Or you can also just head directly over to my website, which is lifeisworthloving.com. It's like life is worth living, right? But I made a little play on words and it's called lifeisworthloving.com. All right. And you'll just find lots of little places where you can grab that 7 most powerful phrases to deepen connection in your marriage. Having a marriage that's actually really full of all this great stuff about sensitivity, that's really full of sensitivity, right? Care, attentiveness, respect, awareness of each other, all that stuff. It is about communication, right? It is about the way we express ourselves the way we express ourselves. But it's also about having a really deep ability to be sensitive to your own self, okay? It always starts inside of you, sensitivity, right? And it ripples out to make your marriage the loving, deeply connected, yummy, wonderful one that you want, right? But it starts here inside of you, learning how to be sensitive with your own self. So part of that has been like just seeing these gifts. That is being sensitive, like allowing yourself to see what's so good about you. And if you're going through a hard time in your marriage or your life, like so many of us are, I invite you to tune into the next episode where we're going to talk, you know, more in depth about how to be more sensitive to your sensitive self. But for now, enjoy thinking about how much you bring, how amazing you are, and really let yourself soak that up. All right. Okay. I will talk to you next week. Be well.